But let's turn our attention now to those surging energy prices. With Goldman Sachs, who was very out in front of this a few weeks ago, Damian Corvalin is the head of energy research and senior commodity strategist at Goldman Sachs and joins us now. Damian, good to see you here. As I mentioned, you and your team were way out in front of this, lifting your outlook for Brent crude oil prices here. Are you still looking for $90 a barrel, just given how fast prices have come on and late, or are you starting to now think we might hit that $100 level?
Yeah, so our base case is $90. It reflects the tightness that we see currently into year end. But ultimately, as the natural gas market is showing, when you do get to low levels of inventories, the upside risk become much more significant. It's important, though, to differentiate oil from gas at this point. You know, gas, we're looking at historically low inventories ahead of peak demand. You know, oil inventories are just now finally back to pre-COVID levels. They will fall further, but we're not yet at the critical level of inventory. So there could be upside risk, but the system still has a capacity to deal with it. I think what, however, is essential here is that this short-term move in prices is very much reflective of a structural trend, just like the gas market is showing us that underinvestment in hydrocarbon supply is going to be a challenge for the global economy going forward and will come alongside higher energy prices.
Damian, it's Julie here. Would you characterize what we're seeing on the natural gas side in particular as an energy crisis?
I mean, when you head into winter with critically low inventories, you know, it has the potential to be a crisis. Now, weather, of course, is volatile. And so, you know, it would take a cold winter to really face the risk of gas shortages. But, you know, as you're seeing in China on coal, you're already seeing some blackouts because it's not just gas, it's actually coal too. Now, you know, that's a winter, of course, because it's peak demand risk. But let's take a step back. How did we get here, right? It's the nature of the economic recovery since COVID has been, you know, less mobility, less oil demand, but more power demand. So there's been a structural increase in consumption of electricity. And then on the face of that, as I mentioned earlier, underinvestment on the supply side. So, you know, it feels like a crisis today, but that won't be resolved in the short run. So this is a risk that will present itself again next winter. And that's an important, I think, realization of what actually needs to be done to handle this energy transition.
Well, let's talk about that energy transition, because you, as you say, there has been underinvestment. Part of that was because of COVID, right? And there was a drop in demand. We saw that in other supply chains. But part of it is this deliberate transition away from fossil fuels. So what do you do to sort of manage through that? But I mean, in other words, part of the price increase that we're seeing now is sort of our own making, of policymakers making, right?
So I think there are three drivers here to keep in mind. It actually starts before COVID, and I think shale was the best example. Just overinvestment in capacity, growth for growth's sake without corporate returns. So that just left investors in mining and hydrocarbon industries just moving to something else because the corporate returns were just underperforming pretty much the other sectors of the S&P every single year for 5 years. So that was catalyst number one. Of course, COVID came. It was a shock on prices, negative oil prices, a shock on demand. So that left for a lack of incentive to increase CapEx. And as you mentioned, now we have an additional component, which is a focus on energy transition. And you know, it's not just policymakers, it's also investors through the lens of ESG. And what that does in practice, it cannibalizes some of the CapEx away from what we actually consume today to what we will be consuming in the future. And the main risk here really is that we stop investing in supply faster than we solve the demand side. Coal is the best example. Coal demand is falling, right? That's clear. We've anticipated it. Everybody knows about it. But coal supply actually fell even faster. And today, despite consuming less coal than in 2019, coal prices are record high. So that's, I think, the clear illustration of the main risk of the energy transition, which is to focus on stopping supply rather than pairing that with making sure that we're incentivizing the right demand adjustment. They have to come hand in hand, right? Saying, you know, you can't produce it, we'll take care of climate, again, is just extremely inflationary. You need to have the strategy that says what you're going to consume instead. So I think that's the key reckoning that's happening today in our energy markets, and one that policymakers are likely going to focus on going forward. really how does the demand side equilibrate in the end.
Damien, these price increases, natural gas, oil, you name it, I mean, this is happening before we're even in winter. Set this up for us. Let's assume we do get a bad winter. You know, where do oil prices go? Where do natural gas prices go?
So starting point, you know, it's unprecedented to have gas prices so high before we actually start winter. It's not irrational, however, right? You just look at normal weather distribution from the starting record low level of inventories, and there are many outcomes where you do run out of gas, coal, and ultimately you need to resort to blackouts. So, you know, the market is effectively reflecting that risk, and that's, you know, fully rational. So now let's go to what price level is needed. Well, when you think about energy, first of all, it's a market of substitution. It can produce power from coal, from gas, but also from oil. So that was move number one. Gas prices going above $25 per MMBTU in Europe and Asia to move some of that demand to oil. That's not a huge relief valve. So now we're at the next stage, which is gas prices, power prices, ratcheting high enough where certain industrial users start to reduce their consumption, right? If you look at aluminum smelter margins in Europe, for example, right, they're abysmal. So that would be one form of gas and power demand adjustment at the industry level. The third risk, which is more of a end of winter risk, is you truly run out of supply. And that's what we saw in China last week, which is the start of blackouts. So we're not at that point yet. We're still trying to manage the winter risk. Now, of course, given the risks of weather, the uncertainty, we're going to see extreme volatility, right? So as you mentioned, you know, gas prices up 60% and actually selling off significantly now during the trading day today. You know, that's to be expected when you're really testing the limits of providing electricity in Europe.
And Damien, lastly, where is Goldman Sachs overweight in terms of stocks? You know, investors who have watched these dramatic moves higher in the past month, how can they invest into this?
Sure. So, you know, I'll actually take it back to the commodity view. I think what is unique and differentiated about our oil forecast, not only is the short-term rally, but it's really that we actually raised our 2023 forecast to $85 Brent. Now, that's $15 above market forwards. It's $20 above consensus. And that's essential because it starts to move other risky assets that trade alongside with oil. You know, think about oil equities, for example, or FX crosses exposed to oil production and export. Sure, they move to the spot, but they actually really move with the long-term price because these are typically sustainable changes rather than just, you know, volatility in daily pricing. So I think that call is the one that one should focus on because it does mean that it will lift energy equity prices as well. And our equity analysts, as a result, are constructive on that upstream and oil service sector. You know, we don't cover them in our team, but again, that is the mechanical pass-through of having a multi-year structural call of higher oil prices.
Some of the best research in the game here. Damien Corvalin, head of energy research and senior commodity strategist at Goldman Sachs. Appreciate the time. Have a great rest of the week.